Hello, and welcome to this edition of Talking Data. Today, I'm joined by John Myers, Managing Research Director of Business Intelligence and Data Warehousing at Enterprise Management Associates. John just completed a new report titled Analytics in the Cloud, which looks at businesses' adoption of cloud-based analytics tools, and he's here to tell us a little bit more about it. Thanks for joining us, John.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm happy to be joining you guys today.
And so let's get right into it. Why don't you tell us about some of the most exciting things that you found in the research?
You know, one of the most exciting things or, you know, significant findings that I found was, you know, security. I'm of no illusion that security is not important to organizations. But in every instance where somebody was given the opportunity to answer about privacy or answer about security, they did so in the Chicago way, early and often. So when I first went through the research, I saw some particular trends and pieces, but every time I saw an answer that kind of went off the charts, I'm like, that's security or that's privacy. So I think a lot of organizations are looking at some of the issues they've seen in the news lately. Hacks into organizations in North America. The very sensitive data sovereignty policies that people have in the EU to cloud-based data. So I think it's very much top of mind, but I didn't think it was going to be that far over and above. The other component I thought was kind of interesting was in the way that organizations like to pay for their cloud-based services to their providers. A lot of times we talk about the burst ability of going up into the cloud, you know, being able to say, hey, we can flex based on what we want to do. But a lot of our respondents replied back and said they preferred to have their engagements be on either an annual basis, you know, through an annual subscription or through a multi-year agreement. And I think that kind of goes to the concept that organizations are looking for, to a certain sense, cost certainty, but also looking to be able to take those payments and have regular ideas of where they're going to have those parts so they can put it into their budget process.
Yeah, that is interesting. And, one of the other points that I found really interesting and kind of surprising when I was looking through the report myself was just the number of businesses that said that they are doing analytics in the cloud. You know, I feel like we often hear, or at least in the past couple of years, that, the cloud might have some nice features to it, but it's not quite ready for business prime time. But your report found that 56% of respondents have at least one project going on in the cloud, and 40% have five or more projects. And that surprised me that many businesses are using the cloud. And so I'm wondering if that was at all surprising to you.
You know, what really surprised me was the maturity of the organizations that had those five or more projects. I didn't quite think we would have that level of it. But I agree with you. You know, we've always kind of made that concept there was a trade-off if I went to the cloud. But I think this is a shout-out to a lot of the organizations that have built their analytical platforms in the cloud and made it available. We had a significant number of our respondents who said that they felt that cloud was on par or better than, from a feature function perspective, than what they had going on for an on-premise solution. So I think organizations are, I don't know if you want to call it, turned the corner, but they definitely view the value in terms of features and functions they find in the cloud to be worth the effort. And I think that as organizations look to engage in whether it be a prototyping project or start to get some things together into these environments where you're mixing on-prem and cloud components, that they're taking that opportunity because they do have that availability and that flexibility.
Another surprise for me was that the report found that the most common departments that sponsor cloud analytics projects are sales, finance, HR, and marketing. And so as I was looking through that list, I started to wonder, where is IT? And so why don't you tell us where IT fits into the cloud picture?
Okay. Well, that chart, I might have been a little bit misleading with it. IT and IS are still our number one sponsor for these projects. But as you see more line of business organizations getting more involved in their IT projects, they're committing more and more dollars into those budgets. So, you know, we had a large group of our respondents who, when we're asked, you know, are all the funding for your projects coming from IT? They said, you know, no, they're getting outside contributions for these budgets. And when you see finance, sales, marketing, HR, those organizations being involved in it, I think it shows that these organizations are no longer handing off 12 to 18-month projects to IT teams and saying, okay, we'll be ready when you come back. Particularly when you talk about sales and marketing, you're talking about groups who are saying, hey, we need to get some, we need to flex to the time frame of our customers so that we can increase our revenues and manage what we're trying to do from a business perspective. So when I put that chart together, I was trying to show the biggest sponsors of projects outside of IT and IS.
And so I don't know if your research touched on this at all, but maybe you have a sense from your other work, but how does IT feel about business departments getting more and more involved in this sort of technology initiative?
Well, you know, a lot of the times I see it from the line of business perspective. Line of business stakeholders like to see that additional accountability when they contribute into the budgets. I think IT groups, while they're constrained, and a lot of times they're kind of stuck. They have their budget, but they welcome the opportunity to get additional resources and additional input. I think we've oftentimes heard that disconnect between ITIS and the line of business has been why some projects haven't been very successful. So there's part of it where the IT departments, if they're kind of reactive or they're kind of defensive, might say, hey, well, wait a minute, we're letting go of some of our control. The more proactive IT and IS departments are going to view this as that opportunity that they've always wanted to have in terms of greater buy-in from the line of business, in addition to getting some additional resources so they can do some new and innovative concepts.
So earlier you started to touch on the issue of security, and that's something I'd like to get into a little bit deeper. You know, whenever we start talking about cloud and sending, you know, all this data up to the cloud, people start to get a little bit nervous about security. And so I'm just wondering, in your research, if you got any sense of how businesses are approaching that obstacle and, you know, how they may be solving it.
Well, you know, a lot of times in our research, we found that organizations are utilizing encryption at rest in the data management platform as being their kind of their number one way to protect, whether it be personally identifiable information or sensitive information to the business. You know, kind of let's lock it down where it is. But we're also starting to see organizations that are handling that through making sure that they have audit trails on access to the data, so that if they do have a breach, they have that ability to walk backwards and say, all right, who's been accessing it, and what way are they accessing it, and that type of information. So it's kind of as you get into, you know, a little bit of the weeds of that particular security policy, but it definitely helps to say we recognize that our encryption will not protect us in all instances, and these audit trails will allow us that when we have those problems to go back and find out what happened or how we can identify the problems that we had to have a much better secure situation moving forward. Another one I've seen a lot of organizations looking at is as you have a mix of roles within the company and including external stakeholders, whether they be customers or external partners, using a masking algorithm that says, if I'm a senior analyst in our organization and I'm, you know, I've been here for 5 years, I'm well trusted, I can pretty much see all the data that I would want to. If I have a more junior analyst in the organization, I might start masking some of that information, whether it be credit card, social security number, other personally identifiable information. And so you're seeing that it's not just an all or nothing kind of deal or an encryption, but it is that level by level, role by role masking of the information as you present it, whether it be through an analytical front or through a dashboarding type of interface.
And earlier you were saying that a lot of the responses that you got in your research seem to be coming back to the idea of security. And I think that I thought that that was interesting because it seems like, especially when it comes to data and analytics projects, the idea of security has traditionally not been, you know, sort of at the top of people's list of priorities. But it does sound like maybe now it is climbing a little bit, at least. But so I'm wondering where you think that refocus comes from. Is it sort of a reaction against some of the, you know, highly publicized data breaches like we saw at Target and Home Depot? Or where do you see this focus coming from?
Well, I think that as we integrate analytics more and more into our business processes, we here at EMA call that an operational analytical workload. You know, one good example is fraud prevention. If you're a telecommunications organization or you do fulfillment of shipment, a lot of times you go, okay, we'll need to check them for fraud. Well, your choices are either to slow down the operational process to wait for the analytics to run, or to speed up the analytics to match your business process, or take old, you know, say fraud management data and put it into your operational process. And you're finding a lot of organizations find all of those, you know, all but, hey, let's match the speed of our processing to our business process to be something that's not that's acceptable to them. In that light, you're seeing a whole lot more information being dropped in, and as you're dropping that in front of folks, it's no longer a static report that tells us something about our customers or our products or things of that nature, and all of a sudden you're seeing people go, wow, there's a lot of personally identifiable information or unsecured information that's showing up in these kind of live report systems. I think that's one aspect of it. But I also think that you're absolutely correct. As people saying, hey, do we have the level of security that we need, you know, different than some of those major retailers that you were talking about, things of that nature? That's raising the profile.
So to bring it back up to the big picture here, this past year we saw a number of really, you know, splashy announcements from the vendor community introducing new cloud-based analytics products. I mean, obviously Salesforce was the big one, but there were a few others in there too. And so I'm just wondering, you know, that the trend among the vendors with the new cloud analytics software that are coming out, taken together with your results, do you think that it's safe to say that the idea of doing analytics in the cloud has really arrived?
I would say so, yes. So I think the one example you gave about Salesforce and their new analytical environment that they have available to them, I think that's a product of their next evolution of where they're providing value to their customers. They have a lot of their customers' CRM or sales operations data in their environment. They're trying to say, well, if we have a lot of it, let's give them an environment where they can utilize our services and our expertise to make, you know, to gain even more insight into what they're doing. So that I think that's a natural extension of what the guys over at Salesforce have been doing. A lot of those other types of announcements that you talked about, I think this is about how when we are enabling the end users of this data to be much more self-sufficient or a self-service concept, if you will, for analytics, it's no longer a very harsh and complicated process to put together analytical models in the cloud. It's something that you can do, you know, a lot of these new pieces, while it does take some orientation and some motivation to do it, it's not that hard just to import data into some of these platforms, start to manipulate it, get some good value out of it. So I think to take a long roundabout point to where you're going, I think that cloud is definitely now on par, particularly self-serve analytics, to what on-premises. But I also think that those platform vendors have put a lot of time, trouble, and effort into the features and functions that they have to make it as easy as possible so you don't have to have a dedicated IT infrastructure to do the configuration. You can pull those components together in a drag-and-drop type of environment.
That was John Myers of Enterprise Management Associates telling us about his new report, Analytics in the Cloud. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us about it, John.
Ed, thank you very much. I appreciate the time with you, and we look to talk to you soon.
All right, and thank you to our listeners for joining us for this edition of Talking Data.